Why do we end our prayers with the name of Jesus? Here's Skip Heitzik with an explanation.
Nor is in Jesus' name a sign that we're done now praying. Okay, over and out, in Jesus' name, I'm stopping now. This is it, till later. It means way more than that. The idea of in Jesus' name is in Jesus' reputation or by his merit. In other words, you're not standing before God in your name. God, it's me. You know me. I'm coming to you in my own name. Don't do that. And if you think you can say, I'm coming to you, God, in Skip's name, unless you want to give God a good laugh, I suggest you don't do that. You come in Jesus' name.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the word of God and find the way into his love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time.
Teams require the coordinated efforts of every player doing their part and their specific task in order to win the day. That's one way of looking at the Trinity. Each member plays a specific role in the Godhead, and all of those roles have an impact on our lives. Skip Heitzik takes a closer look at that today on The Connection. But before we begin, here's a couple of suggestions to help you get started with this year's Christmas shopping.
There was a time in the 1960s where everyone sang about love and how we all needed to just get along. And how did that work out? During the Christmas season, we sing about peace on earth and goodwill towards men. However, the desires for peace and love of the 60s didn't last, nor did the warm feelings of goodwill during the Christmas season. Despite our desire for good relationships, there seems to be a huge lack of understanding in how to make relationships work. This Christmas, share some relationship advice straight from the Bible with Beyond the Summer of Love, Relationships in the Real World by Skip Heitzik.
We can measure our love for each other by how quick we react to the shortcomings of other people. Do we bear with people? Does that mark us? Are we forbearing individuals? Or do we find a shortcoming and then go after it? You see, love carries burdens. It bears all things.
You can order this re-release of Skip's book, Relationships, Connecting the Knots and the Threads of Life, along with his book, Encounter, for just $15 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. And if you're looking for something a bit more in-depth from Skip Heitzik this Christmas, order one of his teaching series like Church, Who Needs It? Or The Biography of God. They're available at a special price for the holiday season. Plus, with every order of $40 or more, we'll also send you a free Connection 2010 calendar featuring photos taken by Skip Heitzik. See all of the great gifts we have available this Christmas, including the Connection Christmas CD, as stars shine bright when you browse our Christmas catalog at connectionradio.org.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining.
Get your copy when you call 1-800-922-1888.
Well, we hope you take advantage of that and other offers at the Connection Resource Center right now. That's connectionradio.org. Or you can also write us here at the Connection, P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. Well, tomorrow is Thanksgiving, and as you reflect on all the things you're thankful for this year, hopefully this study will give you one more. Thankfulness for the fact that God exists in a Trinity.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the word of God and find the way into his love. Make the connection.
Open your Bibles to John chapters 16 and 17. And as you mark your spot, we'll join Skip Heitzik.
Now Jesus is speaking about how we communicate to God. And so I'm calling this, all three deserve worship. Verse 23, chapter 16. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me, and because you have believed that I came forth from God. Let me encourage you from this day forward to cultivate a sense of the presence of all three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in your life. And here's how you can start doing that. Whenever you, in your reading, come across any reference to either the Spirit or the Son or the Father, notice what it says about them. Notice the adjectives and what is expressed about them individually as well as together. And then pause and worship the Lord in that attribute that you have just discovered. For example, one of Paul's famous Trinitarian doxologies, I guess you could say, closing out the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. He writes, "May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." One thing we must avoid is this reductionist tendency to make it the Father only or Jesus only or the Holy Spirit only, as some like to do. It's all three. That's why we rightly sing, and I love when Nick again had us sing that 1674 hymn, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, you heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." That's cultivating a sense of his presence. Let's look more specifically at what this text is pointing us to, and that is how we pray. Now, basically what Jesus is saying is, look, you guys, I've been hanging around you for the last few years. I'm leaving. You can now come directly to the Father himself, and when you come to the Father, come in my name. Pray in my name. Now, this was very different to these guys. In the Old Testament, nobody prayed in Jesus' name. I think you know that. They would simply address God as typically Adonai, and they would close their prayer by saying the word Amen, Amen, which is where we get Amen. So be it, right on, I agree. But Jesus says, and by the way, this is the third time in this message alone where Jesus says, you can come directly to the Father, not just, hey God, but Father in my name. John chapter 14, verse 13, whatever you ask in my name. John chapter 15, verse 16, all a part of this sermon. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. And now, hear again what we just read. Now, isn't that exactly what Jesus taught his disciples to pray? When he said, and when you pray, pray like this, "Our Father, who art in heaven." Now, that doesn't mean that we can't pray to Jesus or the Holy Spirit. I don't think if you were to begin your prayer, "Dear Jesus," God would get mad at you. No, you can't do that. Or that if you were to even pray to the Holy Spirit, because all three persons are the one God, though distinct persons. But I do think it's best to follow Jesus' teaching. That's why when I pray, I don't say, "Hey God," or Yahweh, or Jehovah, or God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I call him what Jesus told me to call him, Father. That's relational. It's a lot more relational than God. I can call him Father because Jesus told me. And when I'm done with my prayer, I don't say, "And I pray this in the name of the Holy Spirit," or "in Yahweh's name," or "in your name." But I say, "Father," I utter my prayer and always close, "in Jesus' name." That's how I'm instructed. And I believe that the prayer that God directs is the prayer that God expects. And I think that's the prayer that God will bless as well. And what does that mean to pray in Jesus' name? I'll tell you what some people think it means. Some people think it's their magic ticket. You can ask God for whatever suits your own fancy as long as you tack on the end of it in Jesus' name, and especially if you emphasize in Jesus' name, like they do on television, well, that's going to really go over. God's going to go, oh yeah, okay, you got it now. I wasn't going to give it to you, but you got it. Doesn't mean that. Nor is in Jesus' name a sign that we're done now praying. Okay, over and out, in Jesus' name, I'm stopping now. This is it, till later. It means way more than that. The idea of in Jesus' name is in Jesus' reputation or by his merit. In other words, you're not standing before God in your name. God, it's me. You know me. I'm coming to you in my own name. Don't do that. And if you think you can say, I'm coming to you, God, in Skip's name, unless you want to give God a good laugh, I suggest you don't do that. You come in Jesus' name. Because you can only have access to God as your Father because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, his merit, his reputation. Look, if you wanted to have a conversation with like the Prime Minister of England, and you were to say, I'm coming to you in my name, or my buddy Frank, you won't get an audience. But if you could show by documentation that you come in the name of the President of the United States or the Ambassador to England or some office and some representative who has a name in the government, chances are you could get an audience in Jesus' name. Now, you may have noticed something in what we just read. When Jesus tells his disciples about prayer, he mentions the Father. He mentions himself, the Son. There is no mention of the Holy Spirit. Why is that? Where's the Holy Spirit? How come he's not involved in my communication to God? Well, here's why. Jesus described the Holy Spirit in chapter 16, verse 13 and 14. He says, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will not speak of himself or his own authority. He will glorify me. He's going to point people to me. He's the silent witness, not making anything about himself, but pointing all the attention, Jesus said, to me. He's going to glorify me. So here's Jesus the Son pointing you to God the Father as your Father, and now you have the Holy Spirit glorifying the Son and making it all about the Son. That does not mean the Holy Spirit, however, is not involved when we pray. In fact, let me just say definitively, the Holy Spirit is the most effective part of our prayer to God in Jesus' name. Do you know that? The Holy Spirit is the most effective part of my communication to the Father in Jesus' name. Listen to this text. This is Romans chapter 8, verse 26. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we ought to pray for. Have you found that to be true? I pray a lot. I don't know what the right answer ought to be or exactly what I should be praying for. So the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Now, again, you might think, I have no idea what that means. Well, it can be one of two things. It's either the Holy Spirit's groans to the Father, some kind of inner Trinitarian communication, so that when you pray, and the Holy Spirit kicks in, and he prays directly to the Father, according to the will of the Father. Here's an example. I pray, Lord, I need a new computer. The Holy Spirit says, Father, cancel that out. He doesn't need a new computer. All he really needs is to get it fixed or whatever. And that's a little crass, earthy example, but it could mean that. This is the Holy Spirit's interceding the Father on my behalf. Or it could mean when I groan or I cry or my supplications could refer to one of those two. In fact, one Bible translation, the New English Bible, renders it this way. Through our inarticulate groans, the Holy Spirit is pleading. And that could be a reference to 1 Corinthians 14, a beautiful gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of tongues, whereby bypassing the intellect, we're able to speak directly to the Father from the heart to his heart. So, all three do work. All three deserve worship. And they're involved in our communication of praise and worship and prayer. And finally, all three demonstrate oneness. Please go to chapter 17, John 17. Now, right now, as you're turning, you're noticing that the words are still read, but this is a different chapter. In chapter 17, Jesus is not addressing his disciples like he was in the previous four chapters. He here is addressing his Father. This is the Lord's Prayer, the real Lord's Prayer. The Lord is praying to his Father. And look at verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, that is his disciples at the time, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Who's that? Us. We're on Jesus' prayer list. He's praying about us. That they, notice this, may all be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Maybe you've read that before and you think, I don't quite get all this, you and me and them and us, and what is that all about? And now I want to clarify it. The triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and their love for each other and how they get along together is a template for the way you and I ought to relate to one another. That's what this means. In short, why is it that Christian community, Christian fellowship, Christian friendship, Christian forgiveness ought to flow and be enjoyed? Because it exists between the Father and the Son, and implied here also the Holy Spirit. In fact, it could be said the very purpose God created people was for this reason. See, in the very beginning and for eternity past, there was a family set up, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and they loved and enjoyed and were enriched by that fellowship. But God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. At some point, God decided to make us to expand upon what was already enjoyed between the Trinity. That's why we were made. We could follow him and enjoy that. So notice Jesus is praying for relational unity between us as people, to emulate the same kind of relational unity that exists in the Trinity. Now, to me, this is all important. This is ultimately important and ultimately practical. This is what it tells me. The ultimate basis for Christian community, and I know that term is tossed everywhere these days, community. The ultimate basis and foundation of Christian community is not humanity. Well, it's because we need and it's because we're alike. The ultimate basis for community is not humanity, it's Trinity. It's Trinity. And in very practical terms, this is what it means. The ultimate reason for families to stay together and to look at each other eyeball to eyeball and say, I love you, I forgive you, I'll stay with you, and we'll keep our family together, isn't because of some legal agreement or some kind of document enforced by the state or by the church, but it's because of Trinitarian love. I and you and me and us and them, that they may be one as we are one. That's what Jesus is praying. Let's take it to the church. Church splits are sinful and wrong, not just because it hurts church members, but because it violates the unity of the body of Christ, which in turn violates the unity between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The whole reason we should love each other, forgive each other, be kind to each other, mend relationships with each other, is because of the Trinity. Now that takes relationships to the ultimate level, does it not? It's the ultimate level. It's the highest level. Because it exists between the Godhead. That's why Jesus said, this is the way the world is going to know that you sent me. This is the way the world is ever going to believe anything they ever say about me, is because they're like this. They do this with each other. I heard about a man who visited his friend in a mental institution. Now, his friend wasn't in the mental institution. He was one of the guards guarding the patients of the mental institution, the hospital. And this visitor noticed that his friend, the guard, oversaw and guarded 100 patients alone. So his friend, in observing this, said, "Aren't you ever scared that they're going to like get their heads together and attack you and escape?" And his friend put his arms behind his head, very relaxed, feet up on the desk. He said, "Listen, the whole reason they're here is because of their inability to get their heads together and work cooperatively together." It's very, very suggestive what I'm saying. You see, to try to represent God, the Father, Jesus Christ, to the world without unity is insanity. They'll see right through it. The world sees Christians fighting each other, telling them about Jesus. They're going to tune us off like, "Look, I can get this on a soap opera. I don't need to come to church." This is ultimate in relationship. They enjoy unity, thus we should as well. Well, let me close by saying this. One thing we must all guard against is resisting the work of the triune God in our lives. Could it be that right now, this morning, some are being convicted by the Holy Spirit to have a relationship with Christ and make him Lord and Savior? Could it be that God the Father sent God the Son to die on the cross to pay for your sins, and God the Holy Spirit has been telling you for a long time, "I want you, I've chosen you, you need me, come to my Son, pray for forgiveness," and you've been resisting that? Notice that the reason God is doing that in your life is because he wants you part of that circle, part of that expansion of what the Father, Son, and Spirit enjoyed in eternity past to you and I enjoy with him, with them, in this unity. What a thought. What a lovely thought.
It's a lovely thought that can become reality when you come to Christ and give him your life. However, perhaps you aren't exactly sure what that means. Well, we'd like to help. Give us a call, 1-800-922-1888, and we'll help explain to you what it means to let the Trinity of God bring freedom and forgiveness into your life. What a wonderful thing to be thankful for this Thanksgiving. And we're almost out of time for today, but before we go, if you get some of your Christmas shopping done early, that would also be something to be thankful for. So here are a few gift ideas to help you do that.
During the holiday season, it can be tough to find time for the very reason we celebrate this season, Jesus Christ.
"The way God loves me, that's how I'm going to love you," Jesus says. This rich, beautiful relationship.
Don't let the busyness of the holidays squeeze out your time with Christ. Lenya Heidzik and Penny Pierce Rose have a series of Bible studies called the Fresh Life Series that only take just 20 minutes a day and will take you deeper into the truths of God's Word. This Christmas, you can get the entire collection of all four study guides for $45. Plus, get Lenya's book, Holy Moments, as a bonus.
Generally, we go for a relationship, whereas it tends to be that men will say, "Well, I'm a banker," or, you know, whatever it is. It's what I do that defines me. But I find that for women, it's who we love that define us.
Just call 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org to order all four books for just $45. These studies will provide encouragement and blessings long after the warm glow of Christmas has faded. Plus, explore other great gift ideas such as the DVD edition of Israel, Learning from the Land with Skip Heidzik, or the Explorer's Bible, New King James Version for Kids. You'll find all of these gifts and more in this year's Connection Christmas Catalog. Go to connectionradio.org to find out more, or give us a call at 1-800-922-1888.
Also, if you contact us for the first time today, we'll send you a free booklet from Skip called A Spiritual Resuscitation. Hearing from our listeners is such a wonderful blessing, and we'd like to thank you for taking the time to get in touch with us by sending you a free gift. So give us a call and mention it's your first time to do so when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you write us at P.O. Box 95707,
Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. And thanks so much for joining us today. And all of us here at The Connection pray that you and your family have a safe and very happy Thanksgiving tomorrow.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
On our next broadcast, we'll explore God's dark side, something you may be surprised to hear He even has. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.